front. Okay, Steve, you got me. All right, good. Come on down. Hi, guys. Mr. Lane, how are you? What a good-looking bunch of kids. All right. Very good. Great. Very good. How's everybody? What do I got here? Water. That's a bottle of water. Sure enough. Let me read a verse of scripture to you. I'm going to read to you this morning from Mark chapter 9, verse 41. I tell you the truth, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to Christ will certainly not lose his reward. What have we been doing with these bottles of water? We've been giving them away. Does anybody remember how many of these bottles of water we've given away? Miss Mary.
1,800.
Some kids are older and bigger than others. How many?
1,800.
1,800, that's right. We've given away 1,800 bottles of water as a cup of cold water in the name of Jesus. And then attached to these have been little tags. And we had Vacation Bible School. Didn't we have a good time? How many of you came to Vacation Bible School? Yay! And we've had several new families. How many of you that are out in the congregation this morning are new to us this last couple of months, but you were part of our Vacation Bible School, brought your kids to Vacation Bible School? All right, good. See you out there. We're glad you're here this morning. And we have a few of these left. These are the bottle tags that went on the bottles. They told about Vacation Bible School. They also have our church address and regular service times. And they still tell about Faith, Family, and Fun Day, which hasn't happened yet, coming up on the 15th of August. There are some of these out on the Welcome Center, okay? There are also flyers for Faith, Family, and Fun Day, so you can still distribute information, family, friends, wherever, and give those out. So if you want to take some of those after service day, you're welcome to do that and distribute those to your friends and invite them to come and be a part of us. Do you realize how important water is? How many of you think water is the best drink in the world? It's pretty good stuff. How many of you rather have Dr. Pepper? Okay, we see who the sugarholics are this morning. Do you know what I learned? Did you know that over 60% of your body is made out of water? You knew that? Good. I got some other questions you may be able to help me out with this morning then. Did you know that your blood is 92% water? Okay. Did you know that your brain and your muscles are 75% water? Did you know that your bones are 22% water? How many of you like to eat? You like food? We're going to have a dinner after church today. That'll be cool. We have good food because our ladies cook really good, particularly when they make deviled eggs. Okay. That's my favorite. But they know that now after 30 years. They've hit that figured out. At any rate, did you know that you can go without food for a month and live? How long can you go without water and live? 1 week. 1 week. So you can go without food a lot longer than you go without water because your body is made so much of water that it needs to have water all the time. That's one of the reasons we gave away bottles of water. It was because we were at summer activities, we wanted people to be hydrated. We wanted to help them to have a cup of cold water. We also gave them out so that they would know that God loves them. That we wanted them to associate that with our church. And so we've been doing that kind of thing. But here's a really important thing. I want to read to you another verse of Scripture. How many of you remember a story about Jesus talking to a woman at a well? You remember that? The Samaritan woman? This is John chapter 4. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone to town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." What is living water? living water is Jesus, the Holy Spirit. Okay, so he was saying, if you had asked me, I would be a part of your life. I'd have a relationship with you. And that's the reason, guys, that we've been handing out these bottles of water, is because we want people to come to know the living water. We want them to attend church. We'll be glad to have them as part of our church family. But we want them to come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And an interesting thing is that I've learned about water. Does anybody here, some of you probably aren't old enough yet, but some of you are. I'm counting on you right here, buddy. What is the chemical formula for water? MJ. H2O, that is correct. Now, the interesting thing about that is the best example I've found to try to explain to people what the Trinity is. Has anybody ever heard of the Trinity? That means God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three different personalities, but they're all one and the same. And my brain has a hard time thinking about that. It's like, how in the world can three be one? But think about this. In this bottle is water, and it's a what? It's a liquid. But what's the chemical formula of the water in this bottle? H2O, that's right. Don't do that. That makes your mom and dad really irritated. Ice. What was that?
Ice.
What's the chemical formula of ice?
H2O.
But it's a solid. Anybody ever seen one of these?
Yes.
Okay, if you pour water in here and it gets really hot and you push this button, what happens? Steam comes out of it. When you make tea on the stove, you have a little teapot and it blows steam out. That's what that little smoke is. It comes out. That's steam. That's vapor. What's the chemical formula of vapor?
H2O.
So liquid, solid, vapor, three different kinds of the same thing. They do different things. They're used for different purposes, but they're still all H2O. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three personalities that all have different tasks in our lives. God the Father has always been, that's Jesus and the Holy Spirit, but Jesus the Son came down and was born here because we weren't kind of getting it in our relationship with God, and Jesus came and died on the cross. Then when Jesus went back to heaven at the Ascension, then on Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came and was here on earth, and now that's the person, when we actually ask Jesus into our heart, the Holy Spirit is the one who ministers and comes into our life. So three different forms of the same thing, just like water as a liquid, solid, and vapor. So water is a very important thing, and that's one of the reasons that we chose to give out bottles of water. And I want to say thanks. Some of you helped us do that, and I want to tell you thank you so very much for helping us. But the most important thing is that you have living water in your heart. And that's when you ask Jesus Christ in your heart. And I know a lot of you have already done that. And then you got baptized in water. Some of you have yet to do that, and that's okay. But we are so glad that God gives us this great gift of water and that we're able to share with other people so that they can know about Him and His love. So we're glad you're here today, and you guys can go back and be with your parents now. Thank you so much for being a part of our church.
Global Ministry Center of the Church of the Nazarene partnering with us in work and witness. We've had a number of groups who have come in to partner with us in ministry. We do about 3 or 4 weeks each summer, and we've been privileged to work with groups from Illinois and Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania area, also the Joplin, Missouri district, and some other areas as well. And they come in and they partner with what we do in ministry. We're already doing ministry in the county to be the hands and the feet and the heart and the mission of Christ. And as we do that, they partner with us and we continue to go out into the community to have an impact. And we have the privilege to partner with Appalachia Reach Out, which is ARRO. And they're another Christian ministry here in the county that's been here for over 40 some years. And it's just great to see the kingdom of God come together and have an impact.
Our whole team was very anxious to come both for the VBS and the other work that was available to us. We have several people that are brand new on this work and witness trip, and I always tell the people, you'll be different, you'll never be the same, and when you return home, and you won't ever want to be the same.
And to be able to come and to serve others and to not be served is what it's about.
Just whatever that the church needs us to do and the community, we're here to serve. And Hannah had all the key words of servitude and being the light and being the hands of Jesus, and that's just what we really want to do.
Helping others at my age just really means that there's a lot of people in this world that don't get to experience the love of Jesus because their home lives are rough or their school lives are rough. But when you just really go out and help them and just show them that somebody cares, then they really appreciate it.
Well, over the past 2 years, they have come and they have done everything from painting to cutting weeds to anything else that we may need, cleaning, changing lights. They've had certified electricians come in. To the Martin County Middle School family, it literally means everything.
Over the last 3 years, one of the great partnerships that we've had with our work and witness teams and our short-term mission trip is partnering with our Vacation Bible School, which we do every year, usually in July. And it's been great to have the extra hands that come in with our staff that's already in place to invest in the youth and the children of our county. And what a great way for us to be able to plant the seed. And we're a firm believer that if we plant the seed, the scripture says God will water and it will grow and then harvest it in due season. And so we're just excited as we continue to think about the future and what that's going to look like with Vacation Bible School and the work and witness teams and short-term mission trips as they come in.
All of the workers in the VBS were blessed and excited, and look forward to returning the next night to VBS, and we were just blessed.
I would like to take this time as the principal of Martin County Middle School to thank all of the working witness programs that have come in here throughout the past 2 years and done a tremendous job. You have been very much appreciated by me, but also by every person who's walked into this building. They have bragged on the work that you've done, so God bless each of you, and hope to see you again.
All right, so that is just a very brief clip of the work that was done by our district work and witness team, and we have the privilege of our own Pastor Don being the head of district work and witness, and so he plans those trips out, and we've had several of our folks that went on that trip as part of the district, and so you will be hearing more about that on the evening of August 16th, okay? That's the day of the last Sunday of God's Love giveaway. We give away the $500 gift card that morning. That evening, we will have the work and witness team present. They'll have the whole service, and they'll be presenting to us about what they did while they were there in Inez, Kentucky. So you won't want to miss that. You want to come and be a part of that, and we appreciate your support of all that so much. If our ushers will come this morning, we'll receive our morning offering. Appreciate so much your faithfulness to be obedient to the Word of God, to give as God has blessed you that portion which He's asked to return to Him to carry on His ministry. Brother Brett, if you would come and ask God's blessing on the offering this morning and receive my offering.
Lord, we just thank God for this day. We just thank God for this time, God. We can just learn more about your word. God, we just pray, God, just bless this offering for the advancement of your kingdom, God, and bless it for your purposes and the will of what you have for it to do. In your name we pray. Amen.
I'm accepted.
are indeed grateful this morning for God's amazing grace, for His amazing love, for all that He has for us and is willing to pour out upon us if we would but ask. As we prepare our hearts for prayer this morning, we want to be mindful of some things, and we want to give you some updates. We have had we've had four people in surgery this past week. Brother Bob Davidson had a stent placed in on Monday, and he's doing well, and he's here with us this morning. Then Bonnie Burke had knee surgery on Monday, and Leo Gardner had colon surgery on Monday. All of those folks are indeed home. Mindy Caldwell had carpal tunnel surgery on Friday, and she had a little bit of a dizzy spell. We're not sure if it's directly related. It might be meds or something, but at any rate, she's not able to be with us this morning. We want to remember her in our prayers as she's kind of fighting off this dizziness. But our other folks are doing well, and so we thank you for your prayers and for your visits and cards and things that have encouraged them, and we thank God for touching their lives and helping them along the way. We also want to continue to remember Brother Dean. He mentioned to us last week that he is seeking some employment, and we want to pray that God would open that door of opportunity for him as well this morning. We want to remember Heather has a cousin that has a small baby that's been put into the NICU and struggling for life, and so we want to pray for her cousin's baby as well. And then this morning, we've asked Brother Ray. He's been having some problems with his abdomen and some things. He's got some tests coming up tomorrow he's going to have. But I'm going to ask you to come, Brother Ray, here to the front seat. We're in a minute. We're going to anoint you with oil and pray for you, in particular for your healing this morning. And that's not an exclusive thing. If there's someone here this morning that needs a touch of God, we'll be glad to anoint you as well. And so we would be glad to do that. And so if you would like to have that done, you can be seated here on the front pew alongside Brother Ray, and we will do that here in just a moment. But we want to continue just to pray as God helps us and meets our every need. So we're going to sing together, and then these altars are open to you. And as we sing, you feel free to come and find a place to lay down your burdens or lift up your praise. No one will come to you and bother you, but it'll just be your private place and a personal place with God this morning. So let's stand together, and we're going to sing, and you feel free to make use of these altars if you have need this morning, and then we're going to anoint Brother Ray and join our voices together in prayer. Brother Don will ask you to come and join me here, as the Scripture tells us to call the elders together and have them to pray, and so we'll have you to come and help us this morning as we indeed pray over Brother Ray and these other requests. Altars are indeed open this morning for any prayer needs that you have. If there are any of you who would like to join us this morning as we anoint Brother Ray and pray, if you want to circle him, that's fine. You do whatever you're comfortable doing this morning, but we're going to anoint him and pray for all of these requests, but pray indeed that God will touch Ray's life and help him with these physical struggles that he's been going through and that have had him out of work for the last few weeks. And so we're praying that God will heal him and get him back to work and help him to be able to care for his family the way that he desires to do. For those of you who are not familiar perhaps with the passage in James chapter 5 and verse 16, the scriptures tell us to call the elders of the church together, to lay hands and to anoint with oil and to pray for the healing of the sick. And we believe that God is still a miracle working God. We believe that God has divine power to heal instantly. And this morning we come and ask that He would touch Ray and deliver him and to help him this morning with his physical needs. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
We love you. We thank you. We praise you. Thank you for the plan of salvation, for giving us eternal life, for allowing us to confess our sins and to receive you and your forgiveness that you shed your blood on the cross for. Lord, we know that you died not only to forgive our sins, but you died for our healing. It says, by your stripes we are healed. We know that means spiritually first, but we believe it also is for our physical healing, Lord Jesus. And so we come this morning thanking you for all of your blessing, thanking you for all of the good things that you've given us in this life. But Lord, you said we have not because we ask not. And so we're going to ask this morning, according to the scripture, that you'd touch Brother Ray, bring healing to his body, that you'd touch his abdomen. We pray that when they run these tests tomorrow, that they'll say, Brother Ray, we don't know. We just can't find anything wrong with you. And he'll be able to testify to the healing power of God. But Lord, we know that you have many methods. We remember Luke was a doctor in the scriptures. And Lord, if you choose to go through the healing arts here on this earth in the temporal realm and to use doctors and nurses and medicine, Lord, we accept whatever your plan and whatever your course is. But Lord, we pray that you'd give Brother Ray relief. We want his pain and suffering to be over and behind him. And we would love for it to be instantaneous. And we know you can. And we ask for you to do that. And then, Lord, we just to receive whatever the plan is as we go. We thank you for your blessing and for your power to do all things. And Lord, we just come this morning thanking you, asking you to work in these other situations. We thank you for helping these people to have successful surgeries. We thank you, Father, that there are folks that need employment, that we know, Lord, that you have a job for them. We pray, oh God, that you just continue to do your healing work. We pray that you'd give Ray relief, even as we speak right now, that the power of God would surge through his body, Lord Jesus. The healing hand of God would be upon him and would deliver him. And according to the scripture and according to your faith, so be it this morning, Brother Ray. And Lord, we just love you and praise you and thank you for all that you're doing. We thank you for the fact that we can lay down every burden. And Lord, we need to give you praise this morning because we owe you everything we have and all that we are. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for all that you have given us that we are so undeserving of. And we give you praise for it all in the precious and the powerful name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. 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 God bless you, Brother Ray.
I'd like to just take a moment. Thank you.
As everybody knows, my name is Ray, and that's my wife, Brooke, and my son, Sammy. I just want to take a moment to tell you guys that I thank you from the bottom of my heart for how much love you showed me and my family by stepping up and supporting my family through this. I know that through prayer everything comes out great, and I know it's going to. It's just some of them stubborn blocks that Satan puts in our way, you know, as far as healing, and you know, the doctors are stunned because they said the surgery's gone good and everything else, but it's just so many complications. But I just want to take the moment to thank you guys so much for the food and the thoughts and the prayers. And as a man, that's hard when you can't take care of your family like you're supposed to. Yeah. But I know the Lord's taking care of it. And I just want to thank each and every one of you guys so much.
Amen.
God bless you guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Ray. Blessings on you. We're glad you're here. Well, the Lord is good, and it's great to come together and offer our praise up to Him in many ways with many talents. And so we continue this morning.
Now that Jesus alone for my sin did atone, and Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. My past with its sin and stain, my guilt and despair, Jesus took on him there, and Calvary covers it all. The stripes that he called on his name, and Calvary covers it all. How blessed the thought that my soul by him bought shall be his in the glory on high, where with gladness and song I'll be one of the throng, and Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. My past with its sin and shame, my guilt and despair, Jesus took on him there, and Calvary covers it all.
Well, praise the Lord. Great to have testimonies of praise in the service this morning and songs of praise in the service this morning. And indeed, the title of my sermon is A God to be Praised. And so we're here to do that this morning because he is indeed a wonderful Lord. And he knows what we need before we even need it. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to 1 Chronicles Chapter 16, 1 Chronicles chapter 16. I'm going to read verses 8 through 12 and then jump to verse 25. And the text, I believe, will eventually come up on the screen here when you've had a moment to catch up with us. I hope that you bring your Bibles. I've struggled with this. I've told this story before back when we got all this technology going on, you know. I told them, I said, don't put the scripture up on the screens. So I want people to bring their Bibles. When I was a kid growing up, we went to church at Union Chapel Baptist Church, and they had a board on the back wall, and it would say number of people today, and then it would have a number, be about 35. And there was another line on that board, you know, had the offering, and it had all, but there was another line on that said Bibles brought, and it would be nearly within a couple. If there were 35 people, there'd probably be 33 Bibles brought. They actually counted all the Bibles that people brought. Now let me explain this. People didn't bring multiple Bibles. So it wasn't like we tried to pad the count, you know. It was just one person, one Bible. But it was a significant lesson in my life because it taught me when I was a very young person in the beginner Sunday school class, my mom and dad gave me one of my older siblings. I think maybe he had received it. But the first Bible that I carried to church was a Gideon New Testament. And I'd carry that Bible to church because I have a Bible. And I'd go in Sunday school class and I'd have a Bible. And so, you know, we have all this technology and we print the scriptures up on the screens and stuff. But the truth of the matter is, I want you to bring your Bible. I want you to have a Bible. I want you to read your Bible. And I want you to know where things are in the Bible. And so we're going to turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 16, beginning at verse 8 this morning, and read together. Give thanks to the Lord, call on His name, make known among the nations what He has done. Sing to Him, sing praise to Him, tell of all His wonderful acts, glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord in His strength. Seek His face always. Remember the wonders He has done, His miracles and the judgments He pronounced. And then down in verse 25 it says, "For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods." Now that doesn't mean we have to be afraid of Him, but it means we have reverence and awe. That we realize that He is so much bigger and greater and more powerful than we can even conceive in our minds, that we should just be in awe that a God like that has a care for us and loves us and desires to be a part of our life, wants to have a personal relationship with us. And so I want to share three things with you this morning. The reason, part of the reason that we did what we did with the children this morning was to begin to put in your mind the thought of the Trinity. And I want to talk to you about three aspects this morning of a God that's worthy of our praise as God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. And so I want to talk to you for a few moments first about our recognition of God the Father as an abundant power in our lives. We're going to do our ABCs this morning. We're going to talk about God the Father as an abundant power. We're going to talk about Jesus the Son and His benevolent love. And we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit and His comforting presence. All one God. All one being. Three personalities. I can't totally comprehend it in my mind, but I believe it's absolutely true. And I am thankful this morning for God and His amazing power. I want to read to you from the book of Psalms. Psalms, the 150th chapter and the second verse this morning. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. You know, we don't have to go very far looking back into the history of the Bible to find God displaying His ability to use His power to be beneficial to mankind. I want to refer you back to old Joshua. Most of us remember Moses really well. Well, when Moses ran to the end of his road, then indeed Joshua picked up the mantle there, and God blessed him and asked him to lead the country. And so I want us to look this morning at Joshua chapter 24. And I want to read to you the first 11 verses here and just begin to hear what God has been doing and how He's been working. Then Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem. He summoned the elders, leaders, judges, and officials of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago your forefathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the river and worshipped other gods. But I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the river and led him throughout Canaan and gave him many descendants. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. I assigned the hill country of Seir to Esau, but Jacob and his sons went down to Egypt. And then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I afflicted the Egyptians by what I did there, and I brought you out. And when I brought your fathers out of Egypt, you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued them with chariots and horsemen as far as the Red Sea. But they cried to the Lord for help, and He put darkness between you and the Egyptians. He brought the sea over them and covered them, and you saw with your own eyes what I did to the Egyptians. Then you lived in the desert for a long time. I brought you to the land of the Amorites who lived east of the Jordan, and they fought against you, but I gave them into your hands. I destroyed them from before you, and you took possession of their land. When Balak, son of Zippor, the king of Moab, prepared to fight against the Israel, he sent for Balaam, son of Beor, to put a curse on you. But I would not listen to Balaam, so he blessed you again and again, and I delivered you out of his hand. Then you crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho, and the citizens of Jericho fought against you, as did also the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, but I gave them into your hands. And he talks about all the things that he began to do and how he delivered these folks. And so we begin to realize that when God puts his hand on someone, when God wants to bring blessing on someone, he has the power to do whatever he wants to do. How many of you remember a guy named David slaying a guy named Goliath? Now that's against the odds. That's a better movie than Rocky. I mean, he wasn't supposed to win. But he threw that rock right up in that giant's forehead, slew him, knocked him down. And instead of the Philistines and their heathen gods being praised, it was the God of Israel who won that battle. And how many of you remember a guy named Samson? Now, he didn't always make good choices. And he got a little full of himself occasionally. But he was indeed blessed of God. He was anointed. And when he got his head right and he got his heart right in his last days, and he was able to do that final act of bringing down the temple, he was a man of great strength because God filled him with his power. How many of you remember a guy named Daniel who liked to take naps with the lions? And God closed the mouths of the lion. He spent the night with them. Should have been supper. He didn't even make breakfast, and the king had to pull him out of there because the lions wouldn't eat him. Not because he didn't taste good, because the power of God protected him. Daniel in the lion's den. And then we can talk about the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and off to bed we go. You know better. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In the fiery furnace. Why? Because they wouldn't bow down and worship the God of men. They wouldn't worship anyone but their God, and their God preserved them. We could go on and on and on, and we could talk about stories all throughout the history of the Old Testament, and we would understand how God time and time and time again displayed His mighty power in the lives of men and women just like us. Just people who loved Him, people who were serving Him, people who are trying to do the right thing. The scripture, you know, itself poses a question and then later gives the answer. I want to read to you from Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 14 says this, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" That's a good question. I have that in philosophy class. But the Bible doesn't leave you to take philosophy class and try to figure it out. The Bible gives you an answer to that question, for you can get over into the book of Jeremiah. And in Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 17, you get the answer to that. "Ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you." Is anything too hard for the Lord? Nothing is too hard for you. That's the God we serve. That's the God of the Bible. That's the God of heaven. That's the God of Israel. That's our God. A God that nothing is too difficult for. Now, we don't always understand all the timing. We don't always understand all the methodology. But I'm here to tell you there's not anything God can't do. And God, in His infinite wisdom, knows when and where to do it and how to do it the best. And sometimes He knows that while we think we know what God ought to do for us, God knows far better how to honor Himself, because it's really not about us. We're here to glorify Him. We're here to serve His purpose. We're here to be His children and to do His will, so that He is honored and glorified, so that other men and women might come to know Him as well. And oftentimes we are indeed that methodology. We are that way. This idea of faith in God, no matter what, is the very foundation of our faith. I want to read to you in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. The Apostle Paul writing, he said, "I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power." How many of you like it when the doctors, who are educated and they have every right to feel good about what they've done, how they prepared themselves, but how many of you like it when those doctors come in the room and say, there's not a thing I can do, and then the test changes, and they go, that was the hand of God. Because there wasn't anything I could do, there wasn't any medicine I could give, there wasn't any surgery I could perform. If you're here today, if that is not a problem any longer, it's because God moved in your life. You know, a lot of times I go to visit the hospital and there'll be people in there getting ready to have surgery or whatever. And I'll go into the room and I'll ask for permission to have prayer with them about the time they come to haul them off to surgery. And I can tell sometimes there are nurses, you know, and doctors that they're just kind of waiting for you to get done. I went in a room the other day to pray for somebody and the doctor was there. I mean, the doctor that was going to do the surgery was there. And I said, may I have prayer with this patient before they go? And he said, I hope you would, because if you don't, I will. I like those kind of doctors. People who have the power of healing through their education and their skills and their talents and abilities, but they understand and recognize everything they have is from the hand of God, from His power. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 says, now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. So here's a question. Are you allowing God's power to work in your life? According to His power that is at work within us. Do you know the only thing that can limit God's power is our willingness to turn loose? God can do anything. Nothing is impossible. It's when we get our own will and our own plan and our own stubborn way in His way that it thwarts what He would love to do for us. God desires to work in our lives. This is the very premise of our faith. We look over in the book of Philippians. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection. How many of you think it might take some power to raise somebody from the dead? We've all heard and read miraculous stories of people. We had a gentleman who, matter of fact, he's still here. He's not here every week, but they still attend here. But Darren Everett died three times in an ambulance with a massive coronary. But he still attends church here today. Because when God's ready to be done with you, then you can go. But if God wants you around, He can hang on to you. We've heard stories of people who got all the way there and God sent them back and said, oh, not yet, this is a nice place. Now, you come visit, you got to go back. The God we serve is a God of abundant power. And the more that we believe that, and the more that we base our faith and life in that, then the more that He is able to operate in and through us to benefit us and others. But not only is this God to be praised, a God, the Father of abundant power, but He's Jesus the Son, a show of benevolent love. The very fact that Jesus was on this earth was an act of love. The definition of benevolence is having the desire to promote the happiness of others. Having the desire to promote the happiness of others. Well, I want you to look over in Psalms, the 103rd chapter. In Psalms 103, we begin to see the kind of mindset that God has toward His children as we skip through two or three verses here. Psalms 103:2. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Over in verse 8 it says, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. And in verse 17 it says, but from everlasting to everlasting the Lord's love is with those who fear Him, and His righteousness with their children's children. Scripture tells us that He doesn't deal with us as we deserve. We have the opportunity, because of God's love, to escape the hell that is the place that we are deserving of by the sin in our life. But He is willing, through His Son's blood on the cross, Jesus stayed on that cross because He loved us and cared for us. Matter of fact, I'm convinced that it was very simply love. Because Jesus certainly had the power to destroy everybody and everything around that cross. They could drive all the spikes they wanted in His hands and feet. If Jesus would have wanted to, He could have came right off the cross and all those holes would have just disappeared. Matter of fact, He probably wouldn't even have had His feet hit the ground. He probably could have gone straight from the cross right up into heaven, come back again if He wanted to. But He went through that process in a fleshly body of doing all that suffering because He loved us and wanted us to have the opportunity to know His Father, to have the relationship with His Father that He had. God so loved the world, it tells us in John 3:16, that He gave His only Son, His one and only Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. This love that God has is unconditional. It is unlimited. It comes in a massive supply. Listen to what it says in the book of Ephesians. The Scriptures tell us in Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 7 and 8. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. I like that word, lavish. You know what that means? Lavish means you got more than you can use yourself, and so you just give it away. And it's more than enough to take care of the needs of other people as well. I don't know how many of you may not watch the news. Anybody here ever heard of a man named Donald Trump? I got to tell you, I kind of liked it that day when he stood up at lectern and he said, I don't need anybody's money and I'm not going to run my campaign on anybody else's opinion. I got plenty of money of my own. Don't you know that just rips those politicians up? Now, I don't agree with everything about Donald Trump. Matter of fact, I've got a newspaper clipping from several years ago, way back in the 70s, where Donald Trump said some pretty awful things about the value of the Bible and Scriptures and all those kind of things. But, you know, the thing about it is people can change and get smarter. And now he's kind of protecting Christians, to be quite honest, in some of his speeches. So we all can learn, get wiser. But the point is, Donald Trump has more money and he knows what to do with. He's so convinced. We know the hundreds of thousands of dollars that people spend in these national presidential campaigns. He's not even worried about running out. Now, all these other guys that are running, they're asking people to give them money so they can run. Well, this is not a speech about who to vote for. What I'm trying to get across to you is the Bible says that God has more love than you and I will ever need. That it is abundant and that He is very generous in giving it out. That Jesus, when He died on the cross, had this massive love for us, this unconditional love that was given to us, and it's described in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. And that's what we are, brothers and sisters with Jesus Christ. When we accept the Lord, when we confess our sins and receive Jesus Christ as our personal Saviors, we become the sons and daughters of the Heavenly Father. And Jesus loves us as brothers and sisters and wants us to enjoy the same blessing and benefit that He enjoys as the Son of God. Now, I know that's a little crazy because He's also God. I don't totally understand all that. But I'll tell you what I do. I believe it. I believe it. It's the Word of God, and it's true, and I believe it. And this love that Jesus has for us that kept Him on the cross is such a massive and great gift. It's described to us in the Scriptures in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 11 says this. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? And then over in Romans chapter 5 and verse 18, it says this, consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. Jesus died on the cross, gave to us a gift. How many of you here have ever read the book or seen the play or watched the movie Les Miserables? Okay, there's an opening scene in there where there's an old priest or minister, and there's a thief that comes in and steals his silver, and he's headed out of his house, and the police catch him, and indeed they're all excited because they've caught this thief, this crook, and so they're getting ready to throw him in jail. Now, he spent just a little bit of time. He spent a few days or something with this priest and his wife before. His wife never trusted the guy. But the police officer comes, and he says, oh, we caught you red-handed. We got a bag full of all this silver in it. And the wife is out there and she's all happy because this guy's going to get caught and hauled off to jail. And the guy that's the minister, he looks at the police officer and he says, I gave that to him. And his wife's eyes bug out. It's like, what? But he had a love, a God kind of love for that man, you know, even though he didn't deserve it. Even though he was stealing his silver. He said, no, I gave that to him. That's what God did for us. He gave us what we didn't deserve. Because he loves us. What a great love. But there's not only an abundant power and a benevolent love through Jesus the Son, but through the Holy Spirit there is a comforting presence. I want you to think about this out of the psalm again. In Psalms chapter 23. In verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And then he takes us into the New Testament, and Jesus begins to prepare his disciples, and he's trying to teach us and train us about what is to come. And he writes over in John chapter 14 and verse 17, Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you will know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. And then if we go over to the 17th chapter and the 26th verse, it says, I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. This is the greatest thing about Jesus Christ, is that through the Holy Spirit, he literally comes in and abides in our life, indwells our heart. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God and that we are the recipients of this grace and mercy. The word in the scripture is paraclete. It means one who walks alongside. I will be with you and I will be in you. The Spirit of God wraps his arms around us with God's love and then fills our heart with that love that we might be able to indeed carry on a compassionate ministry for a world that is hurting and needs to know Jesus Christ. Listen to the scripture in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Brother Ray, it is my prayer that what you testified to this morning is the church of God carrying out this scripture. There's not one of us here that at some point in time hasn't had need of something. And chances are, whether it was our parents or a friend or a total stranger, somebody at some point in time has done something to help us at a point of need when we couldn't do something for ourselves. And that's exactly what God says. God says, when you have a personal relationship with me, I will indwell you through the Holy Spirit. I've sent my Son to die for you, to shed his blood on the cross that you could have eternal life. And I want you to understand that I will place my Spirit in you, and the same love that sent Jesus to the cross is the love that you will have for other men and women and boys and girls that will cause you to give out bottles of water. And it will cause you to pray for people. And it will cause you to love people and send cards or notes or make phone calls or personal visits. It will drive you to care about people with a heart of compassion, because as you have received it, you now can give it to others and be a blessing to them in my name. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. But the first step is to have a relationship with Him. None of this other stuff is going to make any sense. People sit back and just go, oh yeah, sure, that can really happen. They don't understand. Nobody will ever understand. Nobody will believe it. Nobody really knows until they come to the place where they say, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. And when they reach that point and can say, I want God to forgive me. I want to know that I have a home in heaven. I humble myself before God. I confess my sins. I receive Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's Jesus knocking at the heart's door. He'd like to come in, but He won't force it. You have to open the door. You have to ask Him. You have to invite Him. Oh, He's willing to come. He can't wait to come. But He'll never push. But He offers an invitation. And if we'll confess our plight in life as a seed of Adam, that we have a carnal spirit and sin in our life, and we confess our sin, He will forgive us our sin. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Give us a place in heaven. And then all of a sudden this begins to make sense. The Word of God begins to make sense. We begin to understand things people have been talking about for a long time about loving people that are mean to them. Being nice to people that don't deserve it. How do you do that? Only by the grace of God. Only by the help of the Holy Spirit. But that's the kind of life we can live. We can be in a personal relationship with an abundant power, a benevolent love, and a compassionate presence, comforting presence through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want Janet to come to the piano this morning. I think, Brother Steve, if you'll come and help us to sing, I think it's number 335, is that right, Janet? His Way With Thee. And I want us just to stand this morning, and we're going to sing a verse or two of this song. And I just want you to answer the question this morning. Am I letting God have His way with me? I love this chorus. His power can make you what you ought to be. Man, that's so good. That's so good. That's the kind of power we've been talking about this morning. The power to change our lives. The power to make us what God wants us to be. If you're here this morning and you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, we'd like to invite you to come and just kneel. We want to pray with you and invite you to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you're here this morning and you've accepted Jesus Christ at some point in time in your life, but you honestly can say this morning that you have not really been living, thinking about God. You haven't really been trying to pursue God first in your life. And you just need to renew that relationship. We invite you to come. God wants to be first and foremost in your life. Whatever your needs are this morning, God is the answer. So we sing together this morning. These altars are open to you. Come if you have need of a place of prayer.
Would you live for Jesus and be always pure and good? Would you walk with Him within the narrow road? Would you have Him bear your burden, carry all your load? Let Him have His way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and
that's what we want this morning. We want God to have His way in our hearts and lives. We're going to sing one more verse in chorus, then we're going to be done. And so if you have need of these altars, a place to pray this morning, do business with God, we invite you to come. Now, you can call me anytime. You can talk to me after church today. You can call me during the week. I'll be glad to pray with you anytime. But why wait? Now is the best time to get right with God and to know that you're all in and that He's all yours. And so let's sing together this verse this morning, and if you have need, you come.
Would you have Him make you free and follow at His call? Would you know the peace that comes by giving all? Would you have Him save you so that you need never fall? Let Him have His way with thee.
You need a place of prayer this morning.
His power can make
God waits
you
for
what you.
You
ought to be. His
we want every person to go away knowing that their heart is right with God.
His love can fill your soul and you will see 'twas best for Him to have His way with thee.
Amen. God bless you. Would you be seated for just a moment this morning? We want to, we're in the midst of a special time in our church. And for the last 2 weeks, we've been starting what we call God's Love Giveaway. Some of you may have been aware, some of you may not have been aware. If you're a first-time visitor here this morning, though, you're in for a treat because for 6 weeks, we have decided to give God's love away in a tangible way. And if you're a first-time visitor here this morning, you're about to be a part of a drawing. And so, Brother Ben, if you'd come, Brother Don's got it right here. Okay. Pastor Don is helping us today. We had some folks on vacation, some folks sick, and he's been helping us. And so we're going to draw for the first 5 weeks of this campaign. We draw two names. Each name is then presented a $50 gift card from Walmart. And then on the sixth Sunday, that's August 16th, you'll be a first-time visitor through the course of this 6 weeks. You're eligible for this. And so if you come today, every week that you come thereafter, your name will go in the drawing on that last day. If you're here on August 16th, for every Sunday that you've attended, your name will be in the drawing that Sunday as many times as you've visited here for a $500 gift card, a Visa card. You can use it to pay your bills. We don't care. We're not interested in what you do with it. I mean, we'd like for you to do good things with it, but my point is we're not going to tell you what to do with it. We just wanted to help you. We're here because God loves us and God gave us the gift of eternal life. And the scripture says, freely you've received, freely give. And so this summer, we have made it a point to try to give away a lot of things. And so we're about to give away a couple of gift cards here. So Brother Ben, if you'll draw me a name out of there. Alexis Goodall. Okay. Well, I'll let you go fetch her, TJ. Okay, draw me one more name out of there. Charlie and Karen Throckmorton. All right, so if one of you will come forward, we have a, and Alexis is going to be here in just a minute. We want to say thanks to coming and visiting our church. This is a brand new $50 Walmart gift card. We just want you to know God loves you, and we do too.
Thank you.
All right, my brother. Thanks for coming and visiting us today. And Alexis is on her way back from the nursery, so we're going to get her presented here in just a moment. Today is our dog's dinner. That's Dinner on the Ground Society. And so we invite all of you who are first-time visitors to stay and eat with us. We want you to go right to the head of our line when we go in. And we kind of like, for some of you, if you, Pastor Don or somebody, if you'll help us, there's a TV in the fellowship hall in that far corner. We kind of hold that table closest to that TV over in that corner. We kind of start there. But we'd love to kind of get you first-time folks that have been here this month for the first time to gather there, because we want to give you some information about the church and just let you know kind of what you're in for here and help you to be acquainted with us and us to get acquainted with you. And then there'll be folks sitting all over the place. And so we're going to do that. Alexis, I need you to come see me, please. Here's a $50 gift card from Walmart because God loves you and so do we. Thanks for visiting us today.
Absolutely.
Bless you. Okay, so this is what we've been doing. We've been giving away bottles of water. Now we're giving away money. And then on the 15th of August, we're going to give away food. And we're going to have a great car show. And we're going to have a carnival, all kinds of stuff. That's Faith Family and Fun Day. So we want you to come and be a part of that. And Brother Ben's going to help us. This is our Sunday School Superintendent, Brother Ben Shelton. And his wife isn't here today, not because she doesn't like him, but her grandma, who is the mother of our office manager, who's on vacation this week still, is getting, or probably already has, gotten baptized. And she's how old now, Ben? 80-something. So, and what happened was, and we didn't realize it, she's been going to church her whole life, but she got to talking to one of her grandkids. Got to talk to one of her grandkids and found out she'd never asked Jesus Christ in her heart. She'd gone to church her whole life. About a year and a half ago, she asked Jesus Christ to become her personal Savior. 80-some years old, and today she's getting baptized. That's where Amber's at. She's watching her get baptized. That's great. Yeah, we celebrate that. So that's wonderful. And so, Brother Ben, help us to see the opportunities we have to serve Jesus. And then we'll pray a closing prayer and a blessing on our meal. We want all of our first-time visitors to go right to the head of the line. If you're able to stay with us today, we'd love for you to stay and be a part of that fellowship. And then I think Brother Cody has, at the conclusion of the meal today, for those who will or have any interest in Faith, Family, and Fun Day, he will help you to, we're going to have a short meeting. He said it wouldn't last more than 15 minutes. So he just wants to be aware we're covering our workers and indeed signing up for things for Faith, Family, and Fun Day. It's a great day for our community. This is our 9th annual, okay? And so we've already had some people call in and ask about it. And so we hope that you'll come and help us to share with our community God's love.
I don't know why he has me stand up here. He does half the announcements.
I get excited himself, and then I get carried away. So.
If you would, take out this little white thing. Hopefully you guys got one of these on your way in. Our office manager, like he said, is my mother-in-law, and she's been on vacation last week. So we do have a couple changes and an addition to this. First thing I do want to make mention is tonight we have our small groups. A lot of you are visitors here this morning and may not know about our small groups. If you want to know a little bit more information or get plugged into one of our small groups, come see me, come see Pastor, and we can give you some information on some of the different groups that meet outside of church. We will still have service here tonight at 6, but we also have 3 other small groups that meet. One that meets here at the church, but then 2 that meet separately outside of church in different church members' homes. But if you would like more information on that, please see me, see Pastor as well. One of the changes that needs to be made is Tuesday night it says, that the men's softball game at the Ozark Park is at 6:45. It is indeed at 6 o'clock instead of 6:45. So if you're planning on coming out to cheer on the men's softball team, you'll need to be there by 6. One of the announcements that got left out, which I really don't think I should announce it because it's kind of lopsided, ladies' fellowship pool party for the ladies only. No men allowed, no children allowed. They're wanting to have a ladies' fellowship pool party at Cheryl O's house. This will be Friday evening, starting about 6:30, 7 o'clock. There will be pizza, soda, tea, and I heard maybe homemade ice cream. Maybe. So bring a swimsuit, bring a towel, and be ready to relax and have fun. So that is this Friday evening, 6:30, 7 o'clock-ish at Cheryl O's house. If you need directions, call the church office or call Cheryl, and she can get you directions to her home. Also, behind the Welcome Center on the credenza, there are some sign-up sheets or some donation sheets. We will be giving away some gift baskets for our carnival that's coming up here in just a few short weeks. We still have several items on those lists that we will need you all to bring in. So take a chance as you're getting ready to go through the lunch line. Stop by that credenza. Take a peek at that list. And if you see something on that list that you might be willing to donate, just sign your name right there on that list and get that into the church before the 15th. And we would greatly, greatly appreciate that. But those are the announcements. Keep these handy. We've got a lot of things going on this summer. So put this on your refrigerator as a good reminder. But if you all will stand up, we are going to go ahead and get ready to eat. And I'm going to ask Brother John Lewis if you wouldn't mind praying over our food and our fellowship this morning.